listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Humanity." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So some of you know this about me. I am what we call a PK, and that means a pastor's kid. That means that my parents were pastors, so I actually call myself a PK squared because I had my mom and my dad. Hi, mommy. My mom and my dad were the pastors of the church that I grew up in. But what you probably didn't think about yet is that because my mom and my dad were pastors, I really didn't grow up with a pastor. I don't remember having pastors. That wasn't Pastor Sue up there. That was mom. I mean, what I had to do in church when, like, I would be bored and a little kid and it was time to go, I'd go, "Mom, mom, mom, Pastor Sue," and she'd turn around, "Yes." So I didn't really grow up with a pastor. I didn't have a pastor, except for about 2 years, from around eighth grade to ninth grade, somewhere right in then, my mom had gotten a position working for the bishop's office in the Florida Bahamas Synod, and my dad called a young clergy couple to come and join him on staff at our church, at Apostles Lutheran Church in Brandon. They called Tim and Mary Canifkoon, a young couple straight out of seminary. And Tim, in particular, became someone very precious to me. And for those years, I felt what it was like to have a pastor, somebody who listened to me, who saw gifts in me, who lifted up the things that he saw in me and wanted to know me and get to know me. I remember once he took me out to eat to Pizza Hut. I remember I ate a whole small pizza by myself. Do you remember those days? I ate a whole small pizza by myself, but he did it simply to listen and to know me and to be my friend. He was the one that we would go gather and retreats, and we would go out to these retreats, and we would sing songs like, "Here I am, Lord." And we would pass yarn around in a big circle, and we would sing in a closing circle. And we would take that yarn and we would cut it into pieces, remembering that we're all a part of this circle, something that we still do as a part of our student ministry today, part of the yarn that I wear around my wrist, something that Tim passed on to me. Years later, when I had been off to college and started working during the summers at a camp in Arden, North Carolina called Lutheridge, they called a new program director. In fact, a young clergy couple named Tim and Mary Canifkoon. And once again, Tim and Mary both were my pastors during that time. It was so important to have someone in my life who knew me and who loved me, but did more than that, actually led me and guided me and did something with my life and helped point me in the direction that I was called to go. I think about Tim a little bit when I think about the text today. It's sort of an unusual text. We had last week the gospel in the gospel text, it was the baptism of Jesus. But then before that in today's text, there's a little period of time where it appears that Jesus spent time still hanging out with the disciples, still there around John. In fact, it says that wherever Jesus walked, John would look and would point to Jesus and say, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God." It seemed like John's whole job was not to have people come to John, but to point people to Jesus and say, "Look, the Lamb of God." And through that experience, some of John's own disciples, watching John point, left John to become Jesus' disciples. It says that they came to Jesus and they said, "Are you the one that we've been told that we're supposed to wait for?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." And so we come to the text today where Jesus has invited Philip. And Philip, in getting to know Jesus, has finally seen the one that they've been waiting for. And so he goes to tell his friend, Nathanael, and says to him, "We found the one for whom the law and the prophets have all pointed us to, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael, a well-to-do person perhaps, who's used to studying and knowing the word, said, "Well, what good can come out of Nazareth, this backwater town on the edge of a lake that smelled like fish? What good can come out of Nazareth?" And Philip simply passed on to Nathanael what had been passed on to him. What did Philip say? "Come and see." And invited Nathanael to come. I think about what it means to be the people of God and looking at the example, not of Jesus, but looking at John and looking at Philip and seeing what these are doing in their life. In the old medieval artwork of John, most of the time that we see these images of John, that there's an image of John and he's always pointing. Everywhere we look, it seems like John's whole job is to point. Everything he does is not about pointing back to himself, but making sure that we are directing our focus to where John has been called to point us. And it seems like he's always trying to hand it off, pass it off to something else. You see, what John was a really good finger. That's what John was. He was the one that held his finger up and made sure people were looking where they were supposed to look. Not at himself, but to the Christ. John was really good at being that finger and was able to point people in the direction where they were called to do. So much so that the disciples and those that followed him also became really good fingers. And I mean that finger, not that finger. That what John was able to do was able to help us, point us in the direction that we are called to go, and was always making sure that the energy and focus of the life and message was not about coming to the side of the river and being baptized, but pointing us to the direction where love and life win in the Christ, in the one that we have been called to. Honestly, when I think about what it means to be the church, what we are called to do, we are to be the people of pointers. We are to be the ones who are called to point people in the direction where we're called to go. We're meant to be people that don't point to ourselves, but are meant to point beyond ourselves, but to into the life and the way of Christ. Now, I'll be honest, some people really like pointing and they get really excited about their finger. I don't know if you saw recently, I saw on some social media channels some Christmas celebrations in some of these mega churches where they literally had like people on trapezes coming down and like floating around and they had like fireworks going off in the background. I'm not kidding, like these giant things, just like at the Nativity, right? So, you know, and you could tell that these are people really proud of their worship and really excited about their finger. They were so interested. They were like, "Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Aren't I really good? Isn't this finger really exciting?" When maybe we've forgotten that our goal is to point. You see, in fact, I think everything that we're about at Abiding Hope is not about pointing people to Abiding Hope. I mean, we want to be a place that we have worship, that we gather people together to hear this good news of Jesus. We want to be a place where people feel intentional relationships, real community gathered around loving and supporting us into a way of life so that we know that we don't do it alone and that faith is whole in community. We want to be a place that goes and serves and cares and walks with. We had some folks out at Denver Rescue Mission last night helping feed and serve, but that's not the point. We want people to experience radical generosity of pouring themselves out for the sake of the world. But that's not the point. All of these things are not the point, is to point here. All of these things are to point us to the Christ. The Christ who calls us. The Christ who enables new things in us. A way of life that we see that love and life win. We are not the point. In fact, we're going to mess it up. If you think that we're going to point to Abiding Hope Church and that we are the hope of the world, bleh. We're in trouble, y'all, because we're always going to fall short. We'll never be a perfect church. We'll never do it all right. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to make missteps. We're going to do the wrong thing. Pastors are going to say the wrong thing. Things are going to happen here. We are not the point. Our point is to point people to Jesus, who forgives us when we mess up, who shows a community that reconciles things even when it's not perfect, who brings us back together. We are not the point. The Christ is. You see, Tim Canifkun was a good pointer. And Lutheridge Camp and Camp's ministries like Rainbow Trail, they're amazing fingers. They do such good work with helping us see where God is active, to see where God is moving, to see where things are. I love Rainbow Trail, but I don't love Rainbow Trail because of Rainbow Trail. I love Rainbow Trail for the way it has helped me see Christ active in the world. Do you see what I mean? I don't stare at Rainbow Trail and say, oh, aren't you a great place? I say, thank you for pointing me in the direction of Jesus. My friends, we are living in a world that needs to know that love and life win. That they've probably been told many mixed messages about what it is to be a follower of Jesus. They've been hurt, they've been abused, they've been told that God's love is conditional, that you have to X, Y, and Z in order for God to love you. They've been told that if you don't this, then God is gonna come after you. That you're told if you don't behave a particular way, God will hate you. This is not the gift of love and grace. It's why we in this community every Sunday point us back to the table. That we gather at this table, not as some sort of empty ritual, but as a sign of the real presence of Christ moving in our lives. That we are reminded that Christ's body is broken and then what? Given away, not earned away. Not I did good enough and so I get to come to communion today away. But it's given as a gift of grace to you so that you can in turn be blessed and broken and given to the world. We point to this table because this table points us back into the world and says, may you go be good pointers. May you be people who point people to the good news that Christ's death and Christ's resurrection has set us free to live lives of love and life and goodness and wholeness and service and worship and relationships and generosity and live that life out. That we get to point. May you this week be people who invite others to come and see. Maybe come and see here. If you want to invite them to church, great. I always wanted to have a bumper sticker. I haven't said this at the last couple of churches. I always wanted to have a bumper sticker that said, Abiding Hope Church, not bad. like an honest assessment. Abiding Hope Church, it's all right. You can invite them here to Abiding Hope Church, please. That's fine. But more importantly, invite them into your life. Invite them into your kitchen. Talk to them over your fence. Speak with them in the next desk. And let them know that they are not alone. And let them know that they have life and love and its goodness and wholeness. And when they ask, how do you know? How do you know? You can say, come and see. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In the name of love, whose name is Jesus. Amen.